Building on Foundations for Eternal Life, Chapter 28, Prosperity, Matthew 6:31-33, NIV. So do not worry, saying, What shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the pagans run after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. End of verses. You probably already know, there has been a dispute among believers regarding to what degree we should expect and teach that God blesses believers with prosperity in this present life, especially regarding health and material wealth. Many believers appear to have polar opposite beliefs about this subject, rather than finding middle ground truth. Some people teach rather extreme positions on this subject, leading many people astray. I hope to find some middle ground here, especially regarding the material wealth aspect of this subject. Let's see what Scripture has to say about this topic. A new section titled, Gain is Godliness. Let's start with a verse that can have significantly different meanings depending on how it is translated. 1 Timothy 6:5, King James Version. Men of corrupt minds and destitute of the truth, supposing that gain is godliness, from such withdraw thyself. End of verse. I quoted the King James Version here because it appears to present a more literal translation than most newer translations. Supposing that gain is godliness may reveal a belief system that equates having more wealth with having more godliness. Or perhaps these people simply make getting more material wealth their religion. Many people view having wealth to be evidence of their godliness. Put another way, their wealth is evidence of God's blessing in their life. They may never have thought about trying to be godly in order to get wealth. Their wealth simply indicates God's blessing and shows that they are godly people. This belief, of course, implies that poor people are not blessed by God. Many verses appear to speak against this belief that gain is godliness. Here are a few of them. Psalm 37:16, ESV, Better is the little that the righteous has than the abundance of many wicked. Proverbs 15:16-17, W.E.B. Better is little with the fear of Yahweh than great treasure with trouble. Better is a dinner of herbs where love is than a fattened calf with hatred. Luke 6:20, NIV. Blessed are you who are poor, for yours is the kingdom of God. Luke 6:24, NIV. But woe to you who are rich, for you have already received your comfort. James 5:1-5, W.E.B. Come now, you rich, weep and howl for your miseries that are coming on you. Your riches are corrupted, and your garments are moth-eaten. Your gold and your silver are corroded, and their corrosion will be for a testimony against you, and will eat your flesh like fire. You have laid up your treasure in the last days. Behold, the wages of the laborers who mowed your fields, which you have kept back by fraud, cry out, and the cries of those who reaped have entered into the ears of the Lord of armies. You have lived delicately on earth and taken your pleasure. You have nourished your hearts as in a day of slaughter. End of verses. So we see that people who suppose that gain is godliness clearly do not have a scriptural viewpoint. Paul instructs us, From such withdraw thyself. 1 Timothy 6:5, King James Version. A new section titled, Godliness is a means of gain. Now let's look at another way of translating 1 Timothy 6:5. 1 Timothy 6:5, W.E.B. People of corrupt minds and destitute of the truth, who suppose that godliness is a means of gain, withdraw yourself from such. End of verse. With this translation, less literal in my opinion, people of corrupt mind think that being godly will lead to gain, and the context seems to be about gaining material wealth, see verses 6 to 11. These people think that a righteous life will, or normally should, result in a materially prosperous life. Does Scripture condemn this viewpoint elsewhere? What other verses can we find relating to this subject? There are many Old Testament verses that seem to clearly support the belief that godliness and prosperity are, or were, often linked in Scripture. Consider these verses. Deuteronomy 11:13-15, W.E.B. It shall happen, if you shall listen diligently to my commandments, which I command you today, to love Yahweh your God, and to serve him with all your heart and with all your soul, that I will give the rain for your land in its season, the former rain and the latter rain, that you may gather in your grain, your new wine, and your oil, I will give grass in your fields for your livestock, and you shall eat and be full. Deuteronomy 11:22-25 WEB. For if you shall diligently keep all these commandments which I command you, to do them, to love Yahweh your God, to walk in all his ways, and to cling to him, then Yahweh will drive out all these nations from before you, and you shall dispossess nations greater and mightier than yourselves. Every place on which the sole of your foot treads shall be yours, from the wilderness and Lebanon, from the river, the Euphrates, even to the western sea shall be your border. No man will be able to stand before you. Yahweh your God will lay the fear of you and the dread of you on all the land that you tread on, as he has spoken to you. Deuteronomy 29:9 WEB. Therefore keep the words of this covenant and do them, that you may prosper in all that you do. 1 Kings 2:2-3 WEB. I am going the way of all the earth. You be strong, therefore, and show yourself a man, and keep the instruction of Yahweh your God, to walk in his ways, to keep his statutes, his commandments, his ordinances, and his testimonies, according to that which is written in the law of Moses, that you may prosper in all that you do, and wherever you turn yourself. End of verses. If we understand the word godliness to correlate with to love Yahweh your God and to serve him with all your heart and with all your soul, Deuteronomy 11:13, then clearly for the nation of Israel under the Mosaic covenant, their economic success was indeed tied to their godliness. Two of the clearest statements of this correlation are in the extended blessings and curses listed in Leviticus 26 and Deuteronomy 28, too long to include here. The above verses show that economic success was indeed dependent on following God in the Old Testament, at least in the context of the nation of Israel. Let's also look at similar verses that appear to apply this principle to individual people rather than applying primarily to the nation of Israel. Psalm 1:1-3 WEB. Blessed is the man who doesn't walk in the counsel of the wicked, or stand on the path of sinners, nor sit in the seat of scoffers. But his delight is in Yahweh's law. On his law he meditates day and night. He will be like a tree planted by the streams of water that produces its fruit in season, whose leaf also does not wither. Whatever he does shall prosper. Psalm 112:1-3 ESV. Praise the Lord! Blessed is the man who fears the Lord, who greatly delights in his commandments. His offspring will be mighty in the land. The generation of the upright will be blessed. Wealth and riches are in his house, and his righteousness endures forever. Psalm 128:1-2 WEB. Blessed is everyone who fears Yahweh, who walks in his ways, for you will eat the labor of your hands. You will be happy, and it will be well with you. Proverbs 8:12-18 WEB. I, wisdom, have made prudence my dwelling. Find out knowledge and discretion. The fear of Yahweh is to hate evil. I hate pride, arrogance, the evil way, and the perverse mouth. Counsel and sound judgment are mine. I have understanding and power. By me kings reign and princes decree justice. By me princes rule, nobles and all the righteous rulers of the earth. I love those who love me. Those who seek me diligently will find me. With me are riches, honor, enduring wealth, and prosperity. Proverbs 10:22 WEB. Yahweh's blessing brings wealth, and he adds no trouble to it. Proverbs 22:4 WEB. The result of humility and the fear of Yahweh is wealth, honor, and life. End of verse. These verses appear to show a clear connection between godliness and material prosperity on an individual level. From reviewing all these verses, it seems to me that if godliness is a means of gain is a legitimate translation of 1 Timothy 6:5, then perhaps the corrupt person's problem lies with their hope of economic gain being their main reason for trying to be godly, rather than hating evil, loving God, and loving others being their main reasons for being godly. However, there is another possibility we should consider. Does the new covenant differ from previous covenants in how prosperity and godliness are related? A new section, titled A New Covenant Perspective. Does the New Testament and the New Covenant view the link between godliness and prosperity differently than in Old Testament times? Those same kinds of verses we just saw throughout the Old Testament, linking economic prosperity and godliness, are not so easy to find in the New Testament. For the sake of comparison, let's look at some New Testament verses that are sometimes put forward to support prosperity teaching. Mark 10:29-31, W.E.B. Jesus said, "Most certainly I tell you, there is no one who has left house or brothers or sisters or father or mother or wife or children or land for my sake and for the sake of the good news, but he will receive 100 times more now in this time, houses, brothers, sisters, mothers, children, and land with persecutions, and in the age to come eternal life. But many who are first will be last, and the last first." Luke 6:38, W.E.B. "Give, and it will be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over will be given to you. For with the same measure you measure, it will be measured back to you." John 10:10, W.E.B. "The thief only comes to steal, kill, and destroy. I came that they may have life, and may have it abundantly." Romans 8:31-32, W.E.B. "What then shall we say about these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who didn't spare his own Son, but delivered him up for us all, how would he not also with him freely give us all things?" 2 Corinthians 9:8-11, ESV. "And God is able to make all grace abound to you, so that having all sufficiency in all things at all times, you may abound in every good work. As it is written, he has distributed freely, he has given to the poor, his righteousness endures forever. He who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will supply and multiply your seed for sowing and increase the harvest of your righteousness. You will be enriched in every way to be generous in every way, which through us will produce thanksgiving to God." James 4:2, W.E.B. "You don't have because you don't ask." 3 John 2, W.E.B. "Beloved, I pray that you may prosper in all things and be healthy, even as your soul prospers." End of verse. Note that the context of these verses are generally not about promoting material prosperity. For example, Mark 10:29-31 was spoken right after Jesus told the rich young ruler to sell everything he had and give the proceeds to the poor. Luke 6:38 is in the context of many strong statements by Jesus, including Luke 6:20, W.E.B., "Blessed are you who are poor, God's kingdom is yours." And Luke 6:24, W.E.B., "But woe to you who are rich, for you have received your consolation." John 10:10 is in the context of Jesus speaking about the good shepherd laying down his life for the sheep. Romans 8:31-32 is in the context of God providing salvation through Jesus and his care for us both presently and in the future. 2 Corinthians 9:8-11 is in the context of an offering being taken to benefit believers in Judea who apparently needed financial help from wealthier believers elsewhere. James 4:2 is in the context of James rebuking the people for being selfish. 3 John 2 is a prayer, not a promise or a teaching. While these verses do speak of God's provision for his people, the general emphasis in the New Testament seems to be significantly different than in the Old Testament. The reward emphasized in the New Testament for following Jesus seems to be eternal life and a future inheritance, rather than material prosperity in this life. Here are just a few of the verses that seem to me to read that way. John 6:40, W.E.B., "This is the will of the one who sent me, that everyone who sees the Son and believes in him should have eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day." Galatians 6:7-9, W.E.B., "Don't be deceived. God is not mocked, for whatever a man sows, that he will also reap. For he who sows to his own flesh will from the flesh reap corruption, but he who sows to the Spirit will from the Spirit reap eternal life. Let us not be weary in doing good, for we will reap in due season if we don't give up." 1 Peter 1:3-5, ESV, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. According to his great mercy, he has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading, kept in heaven for you, who by God's power are being guarded through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time." Titus 3:4-7, W.E.B., "But when the kindness of God our Savior and his love toward mankind appeared, not by works of righteousness which we did ourselves, but according to his mercy, he saved us through the washing of regeneration and renewing by the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out on us richly through Jesus Christ our Savior, that being justified by his grace we might be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. 1 John 2:25 ESV. And this is the promise that he made to us, eternal life. End of verse. Similar to the concept of eternal life and a future inheritance, the New Testament often speaks of future reward in the next life for those who follow Jesus, rather than reward in this life. Future reward is often contrasted with present suffering. Consider these verses, Matthew 5:10-12 WEB. Blessed are those who have been persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people reproach you, persecute you, and say all kinds of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven, for that is how they persecuted the prophets who were before you. 2 Corinthians 4:17-18 ESV. For this light momentary affliction is preparing for us an eternal weight of glory beyond all comparison, as we look not to the things that are seen, but to the things that are unseen. For the things that are seen are transient, but the things that are unseen are eternal. Hebrews 10:32-34 WEB. But remember the former days in which after you were enlightened, you endured a great struggle with sufferings, partly being exposed to both reproaches and oppressions, and partly becoming partakers with those who were treated so. For you both had compassion on me and my chains, and joyfully accepted the plundering of your possessions, knowing that you have for yourselves a better possession and an enduring one in the heavens. Hebrews 11:24-26 WEB. By faith Moses, when he had grown up, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to share ill treatment with God's people than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a time, accounting the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures of Egypt, for he looked to the reward. Revelation 11:18 WEB. The nations were angry, and your wrath came, as did the time for the dead to be judged, and to give your bondservants, the prophets, their reward, as well as to the saints and those who fear your name, to the small and the great, and to destroy those who destroy the earth. Revelation 22:12 WEB. Behold, I come quickly. My reward is with me, to repay to each man according to his work. End of verse. Now let's look at some other New Testament verses about wealth that seem to be contrary to some prosperity gospel teaching. These verses tend to emphasize problems associated with wealth, and that followers of Jesus should not expect an easy time in this present life. Matthew 6:19-21 WEB. Don't lay up treasures for yourselves on the earth, where moth and rust consume, and where thieves break through and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust consume, and where thieves don't break through and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Mark 8:34-36 WEB. He called the multitude to himself with his disciples and said to them, Whoever wants to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever wants to save his life will lose it, and whoever will lose his life for my sake and the sake of the good news will save it. For what does it profit a man to gain the whole world and forfeit his life? Luke 6:20 NIV. Blessed are you who are poor, for yours is the kingdom of God. Luke 6:24 NIV. But woe to you who are rich, for you have already received your comfort. Luke 12:15 NIV. Watch out, be on your guard against all kinds of greed. Life does not consist in an abundance of possessions. Luke 12:32-34 ESV. Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Sell your possessions and give to the needy. Provide yourselves with money bags that do not grow old, with a treasure in the heavens that does not fail, where no thief approaches and no moth destroys. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. 2 Timothy 3:12 WEB. Yes, and all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. James 2:6-7 WEB. But you have dishonored the poor man. Don't the rich oppress you and personally drag you before the courts? Don't they blaspheme the honorable name by which you are called? End of verses. In the New Covenant, God appears to be much more concerned about our spiritual prosperity than our material prosperity. Material prosperity is often associated with spiritual poverty. Material wealth is often spoken of as something that competes with our allegiance to God. Jesus summarized that problem this way, Matthew 6:24 ESV, "No one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and money." End of verse. Those who do have riches are warned to not trust in them and are encouraged to be generous. 1 Timothy 6:17-19 ESV, "As for the rich in this present age, charge them not to be haughty, nor to set their hopes on the uncertainty of riches, but on God, who richly provides us with everything to enjoy. They are to do good, to be rich in good works, to be generous and ready to share, thus storing up treasure for themselves as a good foundation for the future, so that they may take hold of that which is truly life." End of verses. A new section titled Godliness with Contentment. Let's return now to Paul's teaching in 1 Timothy chapter 6. Regardless of which is the better translation for verse 5, gain is godliness or godliness is a means to gain, starting in verse 6, Paul gives us a preferred way to view godliness, gain, and material wealth. 1 Timothy 6:6-10 WEB, "But godliness with contentment is great gain, for we brought nothing into the world, and we certainly can't carry anything out. But having food and clothing, we will be content with that. But those who are determined to be rich fall into a temptation and a snare and many foolish and harmful lusts, such as drown men in ruin and destruction. For the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil. Some have been led astray from the faith in their greed and have pierced themselves through with many sorrows." End of verses. Paul warns us here about the dangers of pursuing material wealth. He encourages us to be content having just our basic needs satisfied. A similar perspective is found in the book of Hebrews, Hebrews 13:5 ESV, "Keep your life free from the love of money and be content with what you have, for he has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you." End of verse. A new section titled A Living Hope. Even with the many promises of prosperity for the righteous in the Old Testament, things did not always appear to correlate well with those promises. It sometimes appeared like the unrighteous prospered while the righteous suffered. Consider these verses. Psalm 73, 1-6, NIV. "Surely God is good to Israel, to those who are pure in heart. But as for me, my feet had almost slipped. I had nearly lost my foothold, for I envied the arrogant when I saw the prosperity of the wicked. They have no struggles. Their bodies are healthy and strong. They are free from common human burdens. They are not plagued by human ills. Therefore, pride is their necklace. They clothe themselves with violence." End of verses. The writer later concludes that he must wait for a future time for God to make all things right. Psalm 73:23-24, NIV. "Yet I am always with you. You hold me by my right hand. You guide me with your counsel, and afterward you will take me into glory." End of verses. That seems to parallel what we often see taught in the New Testament, present suffering, future glory. Let's conclude with a verse that is well known and cherished by many. Psalm 23:1, King James Version. "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." End of verse. God does provide for those who follow him. What does that verse mean for each of us in this life? I think that is a matter between each of us and God. Does Scripture guarantee that godliness will lead to material prosperity in this life? I don't think so. However, we do have a promise of a future inheritance in the life to come. 1 Peter 1:3-5 ESV. "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. According to his great mercy, he has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading, kept in heaven for you, who by God's power are being guarded through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time." End of verses. For further reflection, are you expecting material reward in this life for following Jesus, or reward in the life to come?